Evening. I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. It's good to see all family and friends here to celebrate this special occasion, the graduation ceremony of the class of 2015 for Kootenai Valley Mennonite School. And I'd like to be the first to, here as a group, congratulate you on what you've achieved. Just quick thought I had was thinking about often when you hear about a diploma, people will say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. And I was thinking about that and thinking, you know, $100 bill is just a piece of paper too, but people are pretty interested in those because of the value that's there. $100 is $100. But that's what this piece of paper, the value that's in it is what it represents. It represents a lot of hard work, a lot of determination, perseverance, knowledge, and hopefully wisdom, lessons learned, and how you can apply that knowledge to be useful in the kingdom of God. So I'd like to congratulate you and welcome you here. Also, would like to, there's a lot of people that could be thanked, but I would just like to say one special thanks to Brian Miller, the high school teacher this year and last year, and all the work he put into the high school class. And this is a special group of students. I had the opportunity to teach most of them also, and they're just a very special group, and especially appreciate with my son being in this class what Brian's done. And I don't know if you all know, but Brian actually taught most of these students in the fourth grade also, and then later on here in high school he came back and taught them again. So I know my son was blessed even back in the fourth grade. So would like to give a welcome to everybody, and thank you for being here. And of course we want to thank the Lord for his grace and mercy, and without him none of this would be possible. He gives every man his breath, and everything that we anything that we do, we have to thank the Lord. So at this time I'd like to start with a prayer, and so let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this special time. Thank you for each one of these students that have accomplished their goal, that have made it to the end of their high school career. And just pray you'd bless each one of them as they go forth, and just pray that they would use all the gifts they've been given to serve you and always give you thanks. We thank you. We ask your blessing upon this whole evening, and we just thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So hopefully you all received the brochure as you walked in, and it's just going to follow straight through there. There won't be anybody telling the next person. So just as your turn comes, just continue on through it, and thank you again for coming.
I too would like to congratulate the graduating class. It is a big deal. It was in my life. I remember my high school graduation, and I look back, and there's memories there, and I just encourage the graduates to use this as a stepping stone in your life. Would turn in your songbooks to number 598. We're going to sing Day by Day. It's a song of trust. The future is unknown, but we know who holds the future, and we can trust him day by day and with each passing moment. 598 in the brown or blue songbooks, Faith and Praise. And would you stand with me, please?
Good evening. I want to welcome all of you out here this evening. This is an exciting evening, and I've been waiting for it for quite some time. I had to think when Josh was sharing about having taught many of them back in fourth grade. It seems to me most of you should still be little with high squeaky voices, but times change. We grow up and we continue moving on in our lives. And I want to say before we start, it has been a pleasure being your teacher, seeing you grow in your walk with the Lord, seeing your characters grow, even though you weren't always so excited to experience that. A lot of memories, a lot of thoughts go through my mind as I think over the past 2 years having you in class, and it's been a pleasure. I want to thank you for, I think I learned more than you did, but I would never admit that to you, but I guess I will up here. Graduation. You've worked almost your whole life to get to this point. You start first grade as a youngster, moving all the way up through the grades, and there's been many hours of sweat, tears, exhaustion, times you felt like giving up. There's been discouragement, but also there's been excitement, joy, feeling of a job well done, perseverance, and I'm pretty sure your parents have experienced most of those as well. And some of you thought this day might never get here, but it's finally here, and you've worked very hard to get to this point, and I'm very proud of all of you. And in a sense, it's kind of your first major goal that you've accomplished, your first major life goal. And lots of work went into this. Now, I went, and this is just high school. Since the years you've been in high school, I went and figured out how many light units you've all done combined together. And it's quite a number. There is 9 of you, but total there was 1,505 light units that you guys have completed over 3 years. That's a lot. And I also figured into that if each one of those took a half hour each. Now, some tests took you 15 minutes, some took you 45 minutes to an hour. If you figure a half hour each, that's 752 and a half hours of testing time. That's a lot of time. So you've all spent a lot of time working, studying, and putting your heart into everything, which has brought you to this point. And it's an exciting time. It really is. And in a sense, you kind of feel like you're ready to go conquer the world. I remember that feeling, even though it was 13 years ago. But so some thoughts that might be going through your head are, how can you be successful in this world? The world's out there. You're ready to charge into it. And a few thoughts that I had as far as how might you be successful. And the world would say probably success means making lots of money and being powerful, lots of different things. And I'm going to tell you something a little different. God might bless you with those. But one thing that can bring meaning and fulfillment to your life is this, and that's service. Service to others. Service to others brings meaning and fulfillment in our lives in a way that wealth, power, possessions, and self-centered pursuits can never match. Don't forget that. And there's many different ways that you can serve others. And an example I would like to read is in Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the talents. And I'm going to read that here. And although I know many of us know it, I'm going to read it in the NIV, and it says it this way. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, You entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I didn't realize this, but looking back, our term for talents that we would use in the English language, actually some people say it originates from here, or that's where we get it. But in English language, talents means more like natural abilities. And all of you have many natural abilities, many gifts. And I asked the senior class to kind of make a character sketch on their thoughts on each other. And I'm going to read those. Now, they don't include everything you wrote down, some of the habits that some of you listed, face-making abilities, lack of balance, and et cetera. I'm not going to list all of those, although there are a few that I'm going to share. First one is Heidi. Fun-loving, infectious giggle, loves books, easy to get along with, contagious laugh, spunky, loyal, funny, enjoys the outdoors, adorable sneeze, beautiful smile. And I might add with that, she doesn't make the best popcorn. Sam, amazing work ethic, great with kids, loves people, honest, spontaneous, caring heart, friendly, puts others first, never gets bored, great sense of humor, fun to be around. Kendra, adorably blonde, genuinely sweet, loves kids and people, super friendly, cheerful, outgoing, easy to talk to, nice to everyone, fun to be around, helpful, takes time for others, sincere. Arla, sweet, funny, beautiful person, hard worker without complaining, a big heart for kids, good listener, fun to be around, studious. Hannah, dramatic, hilarious, good organizer, outgoing, friendly, open, not afraid to be herself, finds joy in the little things of life, good attitude, positive, carefree, cheerful. Giles, funny, loves hunting, won't back down on his beliefs, a cheerful grin, friendly, a heart for missions, takes his Christian life very seriously. Isaac, soft-spoken, kind, looks for the best in others, quick to smile, easygoing, cheerful, friend, inclusive, hard worker, dedicated. Zane, unique sense of humor, fun to hang out with, kind, hard worker, thoughtful towards others, competitive, and then after that they added fun to beat in foosball. I thought I had to add that. Easy to get along with, honest. Micah, takes time for others, good with kids, hard worker, annoyingly smart, easy to talk to, does the right thing no matter what, friend to everyone, caring, organized, a heart for God. There's a lot of things listed there about you guys. And as I look at each individual one of you, I have to think each of you has very many unique talents and abilities. And who knows? Not all of you might grow up to be the most dynamic preacher. You might not be a wealthy philanthropist. But that doesn't mean your contribution isn't important. Everything you have with your abilities is important. God must use our talents. We must use our talents and abilities as well as our wealth in God's service. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, it says this. It says, there are many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You know, it doesn't matter whether we've been given great talents, maybe abilities and wealth, or maybe very little. We don't know what God has in store for us. But what matters to God is whether we make good use of what we've been given, whether it is large or small. And looking back at the parable of the talents, one man received five, two, and another one received one. And yet what mattered to the master was not the fact of what they, how much money he gave them. It was the fact of what they did with what they had. So Jesus, another example is the widow, the two copper coins. She put them in the money box, and that was all she had. And Jesus was more impressed with that than the man who put out of his abundant wealth, because she used everything she had. With what God gave her, she used all of it, even though it wasn't even worth a penny. In Luke 12, verse 48, it says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The gifts you have received, the talents you have, and the abilities you have, they're not yours alone. God gave them to you for the purpose of serving him and for serving other people. And so you look back over your high school and what you've learned. You've learned many things. You've learned chemistry, geometry. You've taken Spanish class. There's many, many, many different things you've learned. What are you going to do with those things you've learned? I want to challenge you to apply it to your lives and apply it to whatever God blesses you with and brings in your lives. I don't know where he has, what he has called for you, and you might not either. But no matter what he calls for you or what he blesses you with, don't forget to use it for his honor and for his glory. And so, in closing, I just want to remind you again, each one of you has important gifts. You might not feel very important at times, but that doesn't mean God can't use you. Your gift might be great, and it might be small. But no matter how great or small, our talents, our abilities, and our wealth, we're still required to put them to good use. I just want to say God bless you, and I pray that God blesses you in your future as you move on from here. Okay, at this time, I am pleased to announce the valedictorian of this class, and it is Micah Literal, and it was actually a very close race. Him and Hannah competed quite vigorously. Hannah had a 97.9% average, and Micah had a 98.3%. And I just want to say that for both of you, that's incredible for high school, for your entire years in high school. So at this time, I want to turn the time over to you, Micah.
Good evening. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Miller, for what you said. That was really encouraging. I'd like to start by reading a verse, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So we're here tonight with so much to be thankful for. And because we have roots growing down into Christ and lives built on him, and because our faith is growing like a tree, stronger and stronger every day in the truth we were taught, we have hope and we have joy as we look to the future. A chapter written and a chapter begun. I look back and I thank God for all the blessings he showered down onto my life. Tonight I thank him especially for my school life. I thank him for my family. I thank him for Kootenai Valley Mennonite School. This is a special school. It's something to be prized. Being raised with a Christian influence at home and at school is just a huge blessing. I thank him for teachers and for classmates who have all influenced my life. I was homeschooled up to the end of the third grade, and I thank you, Mom, for teaching me up to that time. And above that, I thank both you and Dad for your spiritual teaching and for leading me to the Lord and for preparing me for life. I thank you, Dad and Mom, for all your support and for your love. It's not honor roll or gold stars or candy that children want. It's approval and it's support and it's love. Thank you, Mr. Miller, for teaching us in the fourth grade and the eighth grade, as well as the 10th grade in this last year. This was a really good year. What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Christ? You asked that question so many times, it was annoying. Thank you. We needed that. I would like to thank Mr. Kaufman for teaching us from the fifth grade to the seventh grade. Those were very good years. And again, I would like to thank Dad for teaching us in the ninth grade. I want to thank my class. You guys are special, each one of you. And I've learned something from each one of you. I'm going to seriously miss you guys. That's okay, then. Try and get together. I'd like to thank you, school board, for your dedication to the school. I thank this church and the school children for the life they've given this school, and we'll miss you guys. So tonight we look forward with excitement, with faith, with hope, but we look back on good memories and lessons learned too. We look back on field trips and frisbee football, candy tosses and break time collisions, fundraisers and fun, and we smile. We learned how to interact with friends and with authority, and we've learned how to work together as one body. We've learned what is acceptable and what is not. I still remember April 1st in the fourth grade. After break, we were called out of our seats. We were called to our seats, and Mr. Miller told us that he had some bad news for us. A law had just been passed regarding school children's workloads. The result was, of course, that each of us students had to double up in our schoolwork. That's Mr. Miller to a T. Of course, we all believed him, and some of us, I think, were a little offended when we found out it was just a prank. About our fourth grade, wheels were turning, and Chad had the bright idea to dump water on his seat when he left the classroom. Mr. Miller left the classroom, as we were deciding who should be the one to dump the water on his seat, the classroom guinea pig walked in, Shane. And being the fearless, mischievous, and to-the-point child he was, he volunteered to carry out the prank. So he walked up to the desk and tipped his water bottle just enough for just a few pathetic little drops to escape. And then he chickened out and went back to his desk. So we needed someone more fearless and more mischievous and more to the point. Stephanie, realizing the need for haste, wasted no time in emptying her entire water bottle onto the chair. Soon Mr. Miller came in, no doubt whistling the cartoon Robin Hood theme song, so obliviously looked right at the chair, as only a teacher would. We, in turn, were given a harsh warning that that was not acceptable. And Stephanie was immediately blamed. I learned a lot from that year. Two things that stick out is I learned that teachers are always right, and that John was a bad boy and beat the poor cat. Tom put a stone in the blind man's hat. James was the boy who neglected his prayers, and they all grew up ugly and nobody cares. Fifth through seventh grade were the Mr. Kaufman years, countless stories of African adventures. Oh, he was excruciatingly strict when it came to handwriting. He set high standards, but I looked up to him like a father. He was for the most part reserved, but he had his spastic moments. I remember one time grabbing Isaac by one arm and one leg and hauling him out of the classroom, threatening to throw him in the snowbank because he misbehaved. Did it again a little bit later with Zane. With Dad, we had the best math classes and the worst story times. We played volleyball every chance we got, but he made sure that we didn't play too much of it by making us do everything else imaginable for PE. These last 2 years with Mr. Miller have been awesome. They've been years of fun and growth and ultimately retirement. I think that however happy we will be to be graduated, we'll look back on school as a good place. Isabella Waxman said, "It is indeed ironic that we spend our school days yearning to graduate and our remaining days waxing nostalgic about our school days." So we will look back in school with warmth, but we'll also look to the future with hope and excitement. God has a plan for each one of us. He has a plan for Sam, and a plan for Zane, and a plan for Arla, and a plan for Isaac. And he has a plan for Giles, and a plan for Kendra, and a plan for Heidi, and a plan for Hannah. And he has a plan for me. We're each beginning the next chapter of a book. This book's not the same for everyone. It's not meant to be the same. Each of us is created unique. The eye is part of the body, and so is the foot. And all the eyes in the world couldn't make a body. And I can't really say it. Feel like I can say anything more that wasn't said on that subject. Just want to say amen to what Mr. Miller said, that was really encouraging. I read Colossians 2:6 and 7 at the beginning of the speech, and the next verse, verse 8, says this: Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, I think Paul is specifically combating the legalism at this time in this text, but he paints a clear picture where our focus is to be and where we will find the truth. And I want to warn you guys that this world is drenched in New Age philosophy and caught up in finding itself. But what Jesus says in Matthew 16:24-25 is this: Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So lose your life for Christ and thereby find it. Give your life away. Graduation isn't just a step closer to adulthood. It's a step closer to God. And I pray for each one of us it's a step closer to life. With every step and every breath, we write our past. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So let's run this race with perseverance and fix our eyes on Jesus and let him be the author of this book we call life. He's our future. He's our hope. He has a plan for us. And then I'd like to read a final verse, our theme verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. So congratulations, guys. We did it. We grunted and we groaned and we defeated procrastination. We conquered our tests and we defied our doubts. So kiss your homework goodbye or blow it up with Tannerite, because we're done. We're the graduating class of 2015. Thank you.
Michael, for that interesting, very educational in some places, and it was a very good presentation. I thank you for that. May God bless you, and may God bless all of you, class, as you start a new leaf or a new time of life. And we just want to thank everyone else for coming out. We want to thank you again for coming. We appreciate your support and your recognition and your honoring of the class of 2015. Well, guys, this is it. This is the moment that you've been waiting for and the moment you've been working towards for the last 11 years. And like Mr. Miller said, I'm sure that there's been times where you just wanted to throw up your hands and quit, especially maybe in the last couple of weeks. But you didn't, and you all made it. So we want to congratulate you for that. And at this time, we want to honor you by presenting your diplomas. So if you want to come up here right now, we will give them to you. Okay, I will call their name and the type of diploma that we're giving them. Hannah Smucker, academic. Kendra Weaver, academic. Giles Byler, academic. Zane Byler, academic. Michael Literal, academic. Heidi Brubaker, vocational. Arla Sadler, general. Samantha Scribseth, general. And last but least, Isaac Beachy, general. But not least, I'm sorry about that. Okay, so at this time, I'm proud to present the KVMS class of 2015. Congratulations. Okay, you can go back to your seat.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of your blessings, for helping us to finish school, be with the people who still have to finish it, help them to work hard to serve you. Help us all to, as we go forth, to honor and glorify you, to do your will. Help us to serve you, whatever we do and say, and to do your will. Help us to grow in you and to glorify you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.